I invite us all to take a deep breath and rest. God will guide us from the very beginning. We were formed to do God's work, the work of caring for creation. So where, you might ask, things go wrong? Maybe it began as a translation problem. The words dominion and subdue that were found in our readings from Genesis, although that translation was not the King James or the New Revised Standards, they also contain those words. And other translations aren't a lot of help. We find that humans are charged with ruling in the New International Version, or mastering in the Jewish Study Bible. Mastering, ruling, dominating, subduing the fish, the fowl, and everything that moves. What comes to your mind when you hear those words? If I believe I'm supposed to be subduing and dominating, how am I inclined to behave, to act toward the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and all the living things that creep upon the earth? Not to mention the plants, the microbes, the rocks, and the firmament. So maybe we're using the wrong words, wrong in quotations, to translate this passage from Genesis. Perhaps we are commissioned as stewards of God's creation. A steward cares for the property of the owner, cultivating, pruning, repairing, restoring, tidying, so that the owner can inhabit the property at any time and with no advanced notice. The two great commandments read from Matthew invite the interpretation that to love God and the neighbor is to care for all of God's creation as our neighbor, and not just to care for other humans. So maybe we've been going about this all wrong. We do not have a license to be irresponsible in our lives. Instead, let us think of ourselves as called to be stewards, caretakers of creation on behalf of its true owner. Maybe we are called into partnership with the divine in the work of caring for creation. We do know from Swedenborg's writings that during our life in the natural world, we are forming ourselves for heaven. We are angels in training. We are spiritual beings having a human material experience. Swedenborg makes it clear that caring for our bodies is important, as our physical nourishment enables us to develop our rational selves. And it is only through being rational that we can become spiritual, and thus to become truly united with God. Swedenborg likens it to a house. The body is a foundation. The structure is our rational functioning. The contents of the house serves our spiritual functioning. And living in a properly constructed and furnished house is being in union with God. We are given the gifts of material sustenance. We are given education in spiritual things. And we are given worship, in order that we may unite with God. We are given these gifts when we acknowledge that everything in the material world and in the spiritual world comes from God, and that we are simply like servants or stewards, given the responsibility for the Lord's goods. God lives us when we do useful functions in the world, when, as good stewards, we tend the material world in compliance with God's elegant design of creation. Through these actions of care for the material world, we are also at work on our rational and our spiritual selves. We are caring for the unseen spiritual world also. Recently, Pope Francis, and by the way, he's a noted Swedenborgian, said that when we read about creation in Genesis, we run the risk of imagining God as a magician with a magic wand able to do anything. But that is not so. Francis said, God created human beings and let them develop according to the internal laws he gave to each one so that they would reach their fulfillment. Francis said that the beginning of the world was not a work of chaos, but created from a principle of love. As stewards of God's creation, we are the agents of God at work in the world, here, today, in this place. God is not a magician. The material world is not a work of chaos. Rather, it is one of elegant, divine design, a single whole in which the divine is present equally in the smallest and in the largest things. Our intentions, our loves, direct our understanding. Without practicing, without trying, without doing, we don't really get what we say we believe. When we live our lives according to our understanding, when we act in accordance with our beliefs, we start developing spiritual muscles, kind of like that weight training that I know we all do, you know, lifting books and stuff. And it's kind of like a spiritual fitness program to commit to things. Remember, Malcolm Gladwell tells us that it takes 10,000 hours to become great at something. You don't spend 10,000 hours on something you don't care about. It's a lot of time. And we care about our well-being. We care about our colleagues, our comrades, our congregants. We care about the earth. And so we're actually working on that all the time. It may seem tough to find the time, but once you realize that you are already doing this work every moment, then it becomes a question of aligning your attention with the time you are already committing. And the secret is always to start small and commit and to keep going. We come together today in this place to worship. After this service, we'll eat a meal together. And then we will have our annual meeting as a society. This society, this congregation, we, as a continuous presence, are older than the sanctuary we are worshiping in, this historic landmark campus. The congregants who built this mini cathedral of correspondences, as Kevin Starr has called it, had imagination, they had love, and they had commitment for the theology expressed in Swedenborg's writings and for this faith community still here today. This congregation continues as the warm heart that beats in this sacred place, this structure. And as we learned during the recent lecture series celebrating the 10th anniversary of receiving the National Historic Landmark designation, the Reverend Joseph Worcester was at the center of an amazing and collaborative group of artists, architects, and environmentalists. The creative vision that called this place into being continues right here today with all of you. We are the continuous worshiping community of the San Francisco Swedenborgian Church, and we are charged with the care of each other and for this place. You may have done this also, but I often stay after the service, helping to pick up hymnals, snuffing out the candles, tidying up, and yes, counting the offering. And as I do that small work, that little, that least of things, I watch the people who linger or who enter just after the service has ended. Not the tour groups, the individuals, the couples, the families. And sometimes I go up to them and ask, what brought you here today? Perhaps you've done that yourself. I've heard many variations of a common story. My parents were married here. My grandparent was baptized here. I came here to hear a friend sing in the choir. Perhaps that's how you came here today. People comment on what a friendly, welcoming community we are. They feel the warmth of this congregation in this place. This homey sanctuary, so perfectly suited to foggy San Francisco, with its fireplace, with the wood, with the nature brought inside. I listen to their story. I tell them a bit about the history of this place and how it came to be. You know that tour. You know that story. You've probably given it. What stays with me, though, is what happens when I invite them to come back anytime they want to do so. And when I tell them they are invited back to this place anytime, in body and in spirit, or just in spirit, and I tell them that that is something they can do just by thinking of being in this place, now that they know the way and they know they are welcome at any time. When I tell them that, I listen and I hear a sigh. The tension is released from their bodies as they think that they can come back to this beautiful, peaceful place with the warmth and welcome of us still present. They can come here any time. We, the congregation, are the stewards of this house of God, of ourselves and each other as the community at the Warm Heart. As we confirmed during the interim period, the stewardship of this sanctuary and campus is integral to how we see ourselves and how we commit ourselves to serving the Lord and serving our neighbor. It's part of who we are. We have a rich history of being a community who invited people of mixed faiths, mixed races, and from all walks of life to celebrate important lifetime events here. Weddings, baptisms, memorials, and to join us. And as individuals, we have specific God-given talents that are granted to us so that we may be good stewards of all of creation. When we come together as community in this place, our presence may be felt far beyond the bounds of this seemingly small campus on the corner of Lyon and Washington Streets in San Francisco. Giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, and yes, of our treasure, is essential that we may grow as individuals and so that the community of this congregation can grow from our collective effort. By practicing our faith in the natural world, we are growing spiritually. God is our guide and our guardian, and God invites us to come and work today. We are asked to give of our deep selves, of our very essence, No matter how small and insignificant we think our talent is, how little treasure we can pledge or put in the offering bag, how little time we think we can give, no matter how little, it is essential to our spiritual well-being as individuals and as a community that we give something and that we begin, that we practice. For it is in giving that we receive an understanding of our true gifts. In doing the loving work of this community, we live and grow. Let's get to work. Amen.